I was listening to your answers to Alison earlier about being asked very early on the Monday morning what you were thinking about this week, and it made me think of my dad. And the reason it made me think of my dad is that 50 years ago, I think this year, my dad was a fourth year medical student. He was in a very similar situation to you. He was worrying about exams. He became incredibly good at exams because that's what a clinical education was in the 1960s. And I recently asked him, he's now retired, he spent 30 years as a GP after working in hospitals and so on. I asked him what he remembered about university. And he said, well, they told us all these things about the latest research, which turned out, in hindsight, not to be quite as exciting as the academics thought they were at the time. And the lectures he could remember were the ones which weren't actually about his course. They weren't the things he was supposed to be learning so much as the more general lectures. Now, I'm not going to promise you that in the next 30 minutes I'm going to give you this. I'm afraid my dad's most stunning lecture was hearing some bloke called J.R.R. Tolkien talk about Lord of the Rings, a very obscure book back then. But I do think it's worth reflecting. You are stuck in a maelstrom of exams and being clinical and so on now. But most of your life, your working life, will be dealing with ill people. And in many ways, even though training has become much, much better, if shorter, his degree was 7 years, he found for being a GP in Cowley and Blackburn Leeds in Oxford, it was a remarkably bad education. For what he had to deal with to understand things. And he found that what was useful was thinking about the wider context, the social context and what was going on, and that helped him understand how his patients were changing, how the world was changing, and how the NHS was changing. When he began as a GP, he had 10,000 patients, and there were two doctors. When he retired as a GP, they had eight doctors, and still 10,000 patients, and were busier than ever. Not because their patients have become iller, but they've become more demanding. And also the GPs didn't want to work at night doing visits either. I'm going to talk to you about population, what's happening worldwide, but it will affect what happens to you, it affects what happens to this city. I'm also going to err on the positive. And I'm going to err on the positive because I've seen the timetable for today, and what we tend to do is we tend to look at problems in the world, understandably, but you could come away being very depressed about what's going on in the world. And there are lots of things which are less depressing about what's going on in the world. One of which I'd say is population. This is a map. It's a strange map in that we've stretched it a bit. We're currently sitting right in the middle of this map. The map is stretched so that everybody gets an equal amount of space. If you're interested in whether a particular form of cancer clusters, you can plot little dots on this map, and if the dots cluster, your cancer clusters. But that's not the reason I'm putting the map up for you. I'm putting the map up because I want you to get a sense, visually, about how crowded people feel they are. This is what the country feels like from the point of view of people. And most people live somewhere where there are lots of other people, particularly in London. So you walk around London, you can go, there's just too many people, and there's getting more of them, and it's becoming too crowded, and the rent's going sky high. And then the idea that this city's going to get bigger and bigger, and this planet's going to get bigger and bigger, that becomes scary. Let's take it out to Europe. So here we are on the edge of Europe. Got a little mouse. We're sitting here. Here's Paris. Okay, you get an idea of how it looks. We've used these kind of maps to map all the WHO estimates of burden of disease. If you're interested, if you've got an electronic device in front of you and you're getting bored, type World Mapper into Google. When you get the World Mapper, click on disease maps. We've put up, I think, 700 maps of diseases that look a bit like this. And it's another way of looking at data. So here's our continent, our expanding continent, 600 million people. The big red lobster coming in from the side is Turkey. The nice thing about these maps is that you can't decide, they're produced by the data. You can't decide how they look like. And many people are scared of Turkey. They go, this is too many people. How can we let Turkey in as well? I'll get on to that in a bit. Hopeful signs. I think the next talk is about Millennium Development Goals. Let me just tell you one really helpful sign that you hardly ever hear about. 2 years ago was probably the best year in world history for human health that there'll ever be. Do any of you know why 2 years ago was the peak year for improvement in human health? What happened? There were some news reports, not many. This is what I mean about good news, it's not covered. This is really basic. I'm a geographer, I'm not a medic. I'm interested in very, very basic things. Some people got richer, but it was almost the opposite. Sadly, it was... Well, it's interesting, actually. The super rich did have a drop in their wealth 2 years ago, but they've gone rich again.
More like China.
Yeah, China's doing better, and that's related to this. But it's a very, very basic medical thing. Something... Go on.
Is it polio?
No. We got close to polio, and then sadly it's come out again in Syria. Shout out.
Good crop yields.
No, well, they weren't bad, but sadly the speculators started buying all the crops and then we had food riots. I'm feeling good, because I feel unqualified in front of you, and now I'm feeling slightly... Really simple medical indicator. Close to that, big jump in life expectancy, but even simpler than life expectancy, the most basic medical stat.
Infant
mortality. What happened to it 2 years ago, worldwide? It dropped. It didn't just drop. It dropped, and the problem is we're not quite sure how many babies there are in the world, let alone how many are dying. It dropped possibly by as much as 5% in 1 year. From 42 babies per 1,000 dying worldwide to 40. That's the most incredible drop. We can't carry on having drops that fast. We've never had drops that fast before. It's a huge reduction in human suffering. Think of all the grieving parents who were not grieving parents because of that drop in infant mortality. We now have far more babies born per year than we did when I was born, but we have far fewer babies dying than when I was born. This should be celebrated. There are many clinical reasons, not least vaccines, as to why we have such an incredible drop in babies dying. But it wasn't just clinical, it probably wasn't mainly clinical. One of the key reasons why we've had a drop in the proportion of babies who die in their first year of life is that far fewer people are having babies in marginal circumstances. They've got more control over their lives, and they don't have to have kids who are more likely not to make it to the first year of life. The slide up here is about energy, because I'm going to flip around many things. I'm going to go quite fast, very fast, because I want to give you about 10 minutes to ask questions at the end and get us back on time. But these are things that aren't talked about. On the bottom slide, you'll see that the countries with the biggest increase in renewable energy, China, Korea, Turkey, Germany, they're not the countries that are necessarily the richest in the world, and we don't even feature there. The UK is in with the rest of the EU 27. There are some good news stories about green growth and so on. All that fear about Turkey joining the EU. Istanbul, the average family have 1.88 babies, and this is data from years ago. Right, the world is slowing down in terms of population. London, people have more babies per couple than Istanbul. Only in the remote rural areas of Turkey do you have a higher than replacement rate of babies being born. Some boring graphs about numbers, but these things matter. This is a UN projection for the population of the planet going forward to 2300, but about 10 years old, this projection. And they have our population peaking at 9 billion by 2100, and then steady. This has never happened before in the history of the planet, other than when we've had pandemic. So in your lifetimes, probably not in mine, but in your lifetimes, you're going to see, a good chance you'll see peak population occurring. We're already past peak baby. We've just gone past peak 18. I happen to think this is incredibly good news. But more interesting is that it's come about not because a committee sat in a room in New York and produced a policy that was then pushed out worldwide. It's happened organically. And if good things can happen organically, that should make you optimistic about the future. We're not necessarily all going to burn in 150 years' time as we wreck the planet. We might, I won't say anything else about carbon. But when you list all the world's problems, and you start off with climate change and you work your way down, I can list at least 40 things that are worse than population numbers to worry about. Unfortunately, the UN upped their estimates and now say 10 billion, not 9. And these figures are incredibly sensitive. A few more babies now, we zoom up. A few less, we zoom down. It's like compound interest in your bank account. You get into a bit of debt, you're never going to have much money. You save a bit, those savings will go up. This is the ridiculous prediction if we just carry on like we are doing now, which we're not going to do. This is now the middle prediction, and this is the one that nobody talks about, the UN's lower prediction. And I think they should, because if you look at places which are now beginning to lead the world, big cities in Asia, Shanghai, Tokyo, or even Barcelona, the average couple there is having one child per couple over the course of their lifetimes. There are halvings of population numbers going on in some places. And then, unfortunately for me, they up again to 11 billion. So you might say, what am I doing being optimistic? Why am I telling you that things are good when the UN is slowly upping the predictions for the future? The reason they upped the predictions for the future is this little line here, if you can see it. This is the fertility rate in Africa. And you'll see it hasn't come down as steeply as all the fertility rates in the other continents of the world. Once you get down to 2, and that's now, so this is not a projection, this is where we are. Almost all of the world is now clustered around 2 babies per couple over the course of the lifetimes, apart from Africa, which hasn't come down quite as fast as the other continents. And it'll be very interesting to know why. When I first said this slide, somebody from Rotherham Green Party said to me, Nestle. And it won't just be Nestle. But if you know the Nestle story, Nestle made a lot of money in the 80s flogging baby powder milk. One problem about flogging baby powder milk is that breastfeeding reduces your chances of becoming pregnant again, apart from all the other problems. I wouldn't just blame Nestle, but it's something worth thinking about. Global trends, big trends. You'll never have seen a graph like this, I suspect, in your 3 or 4 or 5 years that you've been here. This is world GDP change over 10 years, just showing how it plummeted in the world in the 1970s. We had a global crisis. We reached limits of growth. We couldn't carry on growing at our post-war rates economically. The dotted line is Africa, and you see it goes below zero. That's economies actually constricting in size. Roughly 4 years after my dad was doing his fourth year of medical school, he celebrated the fact he'd finished his exams, and 9 months later I was born. So be careful how much you drink at that point. In the year I was born, which was 1968, a couple published a book called The Population Bomb. And The Population Bomb said, we've had it. We've had it. We've got too many people. They're increasing at too much rate. There's no way we can support this. And as I'll show you in a minute, they were right. In 1968, they were right. It really was quite dramatic. And the reason they were right is that they were writing this book just there. This is the most important graph, so I will skip over the others. But this is annual change in world population. This is what we've lived through since 1850. Before 1850, world population was going up by a tiny amount. Some centuries a little bit more, some centuries a little bit less. When we took all those diseases over to the Americas, it went down a bit. But then from 1850 onwards, we've had this incredible acceleration in population worldwide. It's not just that population has gone up, it's that almost every year, barring the disasters there, which neatly fit onto the four horsemen of the apocalypse if you want to match them, uncannily really, but barring those disasters, of which the biggest was the Great Famine in China, every year population was going up in percentage terms by more than the year before. That's out of control. We've got a number getting bigger, going up by a high percentage of that big number every year. Can you see the problem? And you're sitting here writing a book here, and there's a demographer in the States who worked out that if this carried on at this rate for another 300 years, the entire planet would be covered in human beings all touching each other in a seething mass of flesh. Now, what that demographer was trying to say is, clearly this is not going to carry on. Clearly, he was very good, he was saying clearly this is going to change. And we now know it has changed. For 40 years we've had this deceleration. This is the famine in Ethiopia, in East Africa. Which, just as an aside, I learned last week, there's mounting evidence that one reason why there was that famine in the 1980s, which you may, you'll be too young. Do you remember Live Aid, anybody? It's recently been linked to air pollution from Europe affecting the weather systems and creating drought. Now, if that's proven, at some point people are going to be asking for recompense. But anyway, for 40 years, we've had a change in this trend. Now, it may not carry on, but you need to know that this has occurred. You could write a book in 1968 saying this is out of control, but it stopped being out of control. And it wasn't just the pill. It wasn't just condoms. It wasn't just education of women. It was many, 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 many things. Let's skip. People learning things, or learning new things. I'm afraid, being a geographer, I jump over all kinds of subjects. This is a map of the first city in the world. And the reason I put this map up is you'll notice something odd about this city. And I put it up to try to talk about human beings and what we do. The first city in the world had no roads, had no alleyways. You got to the houses by walking over the roofs of other people's houses. Because nobody knew you needed roads. How would you know you needed roads until it became obvious? If you go back to 1850, the first modern world city, I claim, is Manchester. The first grid system, industrial, warehouse-based city, Manchester. And okay, we built Manchester with roads, but we didn't build it with sewers. In fact, we even built housing within the bottom of the drains that were taking the sewage away from places in Manchester. And so Manchester got down to a life expectancy of 27 at various points. Human beings learn. They learn how to do new things. We're not necessarily that able. We learn by our mistakes. And we've had the most almighty change in what it means to be human occur in the last 150 years. 150 years ago, the vast, vast majority of us lived in villages. Villages with a stable social system, the one we're designed to be in. A bit boring, but a very good way of controlling people. You don't have kids till you're married, all those kind of things. That's why world population only increased steadily. We've recently just passed to being the majority urban world. We currently have depopulation going on in rural areas worldwide. Most areas of the world are actually dropping in population. The vast bulk of the increase to come is going to be in cities. And hopefully it will be in cities like this one, which will only happen by building upwards. But it's not about the planet filling up with people, it's actually people becoming more concentrated in a few places. There are lots of unforeseen consequences of this going on. This is a graph from the Office of Budget Responsibility about the UK national debt. The UK national debt is very big. How do you get it down? One way to get it down is to bring people in and share the debt with them. And what the OBR say is if we don't carry on bringing people in and sharing the debt with them, we've got a big problem with our debt. I'm just putting it up to show you that there are other ways of looking at population and the way it's normally done. And other ways about thinking about Britain as a wonderful country. This is a country with a debt as big as Greece. But we talk about it in different ways. Some peaks for you. This is peak oil, excluding the main oil producing countries. But just to let you know, if you're becoming pessimistic about the world and what's going on, very recently, but before the recession, we hit a whole series of peaks. We now consume less paper and less wood than we did before, less cement, less fertilizer than we did before. And the only thing we were not consuming more of in about 2004 were clothes. We were still buying more and more clothes. But last year, Marks and Spencer's issued a profit warning because they can't persuade us to carry on buying clothes at the rate we are. The rate we buy clothes at the moment is that the average garment is worn 12 times before it's thrown away. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's easy to work out. The nice thing about shirts, unless you're particularly weird, is you really can only wear one shirt at a time. We know how many shirts are sold. We know how many people there are. If you go to a shopping mall, you see that the majority of shops are clothes shops. Fashion changes. They're trying to get you to buy more and more clothes because that's how you make money. But even with that, even with all the pressure to consume more, we actually have, sadly, it did take a bit of a recession to help us learn not to do it. But there are good signs out there. Just click off that, click off that. Food security. People often produce these lists of all the things that are going to go terribly wrong. And I think the important thing is to rank them, to put them in order. What should we be most worried about? I'd worry about soils the most. We are washing soils away down rivers that are very hard to replace. But I wouldn't worry about food as much. The wonderful thing about food is that you can only eat so much. If you try to imagine that you could eat as much as you liked, can you imagine how much the rich would eat if you could eat as much as you liked? But because human beings could only eat a fixed amount of food, and if they eat a bit too much, it becomes very bad for them, we don't need to produce that much more food in the future. It's less of a problem. Water's more of a problem because we've moved away from the areas where there's water and so on and so on. Let's skip off. I like weird maps. This is a map of the universe according to elements. People worry about rare elements, how our mobile phone's going to work and so on. But let's get back to fertility. Here you've got the number of children per couple. What's often said per woman, but I always think it takes two. Here you've got life expectancy. And you'll see in general, you're having these rapid falls down. And occasionally you get something odd occurring. There's something odd going on in Britain now. We have a little baby boom going on. Can you see we've gone the wrong way? These things are temporary. Same in Russia. But you need to look at the overall direction of trend to know what's going on. On average, fertility rates in Muslim countries are actually lower than equivalent countries for GDP which are not Muslim. I just put that in because there are ridiculous right-wing fears about the world being taken over by poor people who are Muslim. And if you want to try to understand how did the fertility rates fall so fast, you've got to understand countries like Iran. How does a country with a series of men who have that much power manage to get its fertility rate down? Or just look nearer. Just look at Ireland, a country with a set of men with incredible power, with the ability to ban condoms. But people in Ireland still manage to get their fertility rate down despite that. Interestingly, do you know, at the same time they banned condoms, they also banned curly whirlies? The evil curly whirly. Okay. Another map for you. People often talk about Easter Island as an example of how human beings are just no good. We want to have greed now, consume now, have everything now, and we're just set on self-destruction. Tikopia is the opposite island. Tikopia was an island where human beings of small numbers have existed for 4,000 years and survived. They existed partly by infanticide. The wonderful thing about contraception now is it's much, much nicer than infanticide. The sad thing about Tikopia is that there's a small gap here. And as the sea level rises, the salt water's coming into the brackish lake in the middle of it. So after 4,000 years of sustainable human existence, and of no fault of the people of Tikopia themselves, life on Tikopia may become unsustainable because of what we're doing worldwide. But it's a different story to Easter Island. And the good news stories tend not to be told because they're a bit boring. The bad news stories, everybody burning the trees on Easter Island and all dying out, tend to be told. Incredibly fast changes going on worldwide. If you want me to say what I think the most important driver of population slowdown is, it's the emancipation of women. Women going from being a subhuman species 100 years ago, literally not considered human, to making up the majority of graduates worldwide now. That change above all else is most important. But in the last 20 or 30 years, the majority of people in the worldwide are becoming literate. The majority of their children will probably have access to Wikipedia, which is why it matters to edit Wikipedia well. Okay. Some more graphs just showing you where we are. This is population growth, not fertility, and it's less dramatic. And the reason it's less dramatic is that we're getting better. We're not dying. The majority of that increase to 10 billion people isn't new babies. It's people like you. The majority of it is people living in their 60s, 70s, 80s and 90s. That's why the planet's going to go up to 10 billion. It's not that more are being born, it's that more of us are hanging around for longer. And that's an incredible medical success story. It's not something we should be worrying about as much as we do worry, I would argue. Last few graphs and then I'll end with some maps and then please ask me some questions. I have erred towards the positive, and the only questions I'm no good on at all is climate change, which I have to admit is very depressing. This is real data up until this point, and from this point onwards it's projections. And you can play with this data yourself if you're mathematically inclined. It's the number of people in the world, take away the number the year before, and then do that again. So it's a change in change. It's the acceleration or deceleration of world population. And this is the only thing I did in my book that I'm slightly proud of, because the rest of it is just copying other people's ideas. I plotted this and I looked at these peaks. And I saw that the gap between this peak and this peak is 18, and the gap between this peak and this peak is early 20s. And we're not dealing with hamsters, we're not dealing with fruit flies, we're not dealing with elephants. These are human beings. Something human beings used to do every 18 years, which are now doing every 20 odd years, which in Europe they're now doing every 30 years, which is have babies. What you've got are a series of worldwide population booms echoing down. And you've got a UN prediction that pretends that's going to end. So let's do something else. Let's put this on. Very scientific. To make it more scientific, all we do is we copy the Wiggles exactly and it looks a bit more credible. But it's a guess. It's a guess. And there's no reason why. I mean, I say 9 or 10 billion for us. But if the trends from urban Asia become dominant trends, if the behaviour of the middle class becomes normal, remember in many, many ways what the middle class do becomes normal for everybody a generation later. Like going to university, which the majority of young women now do in Britain.